Call this meeting for January 10th.
You're on now.
Call a meeting for Planning Commission for January 10th to order. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Ortiz Legg.
Here.
Commissioner Moltari.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Chairman Harrison.
Here. Would you all please rise and join me in a flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first order of business today is to elect a new chairperson and vice chairperson for 2019. And I'm open for nominations for the chairperson.
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to nominate Commissioner Moltari for president.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Call the roll, please, Ramona.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz Legg?
Yes.
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
Chairman Harrison?
Yes. And at this time, we will change positions. Make sure you take your card and your information with you. And your name tag.
Your coffee.
And your coffee.
Okay, thank you. Before we proceed, then, I just want to thank Commissioner Harrison for the fine job he did as chairman last year. And our efforts to prevail upon him for a second year were unsuccessful. Our next item, then, is to get a vice chair for this coming year. Is there nominations for that, please?
We nominate Jay Brown.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Oops. Second.
Okay. We have a nomination and a second for Commissioner Brown to be the vice chair this coming year. Can we have a roll call for that?
Commissioner Ortiz Legg?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Chairman Moltari?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. So we've taken care of that order of business. We don't really need to do any more shuffling of chairs today, do we?
No.
Okay. Thank you. All right. This brings us then to the public comment period. This is when people may speak to the commission on items that are not on the agenda today. I have two speaker slips. If anybody else would like to speak today, if you'd fill one of these out, it'd be very helpful. My first speaker is Eric Greening. Eric?
Good morning. I'm Eric Greening. I'd like to welcome the new chair and thank Commissioner Harrison for an excellent year of public, basically a very public-friendly style of chairing, which I know will continue. At your last meeting, I raised the issue of how useful it would be to you as a commission to include the CEQA guidelines revisions in the review you're going to be undertaking of the housing package, which I now understand is going to be at your next meeting on the 24th, since you make far more CEQA determinations than the Board of Supervisors does, certainly having your hand in it is essential. Today, I'm going to come from the point of view of why the public needs you to take this on and have a public hearing that includes it. Right now, the website of the Planning and Building Department is misleading. You look under Active Major Projects, County CEQA Guidelines Update. Nothing in the narrative on the relevant page speaks to anything that is currently in the works. Under Next Steps, it has a whole bunch of things that happened in 2017, and completed, follow state updates, fall to winter 2018, ongoing, report to Board of Supervisors with findings and recommendations, spring 2019, not started. That is the information currently on your website. What I heard on December 4th was that the CEQA guidelines updates was to be included with the housing package, which would reach the board in late February and come to your commission first. I would assume it's being worked on. I know you've got to do titles 28 and 29. Please do this as well. Currently, the website does not include any staff language that might be a staff proposal. It has language from the CEQA working group. It has public things that the public brought forward in writing and at certain gatherings. On December 4th, we saw recommendations of the Housing Coalition. None of us in the public have any idea what is actually going to have a staff recommendation. And we shouldn't have to wait until a few days before a Board of Supervisors hearing on the entire housing package in late February to grapple with it. I know you don't want to collude in misleading the public or keeping it in the dark. And I know it will be useful to you as well as the public to be sure you completely include whatever is being done right now on the CEQA guidelines in your review of the housing package. Please do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. I have another speaker slip for public comment, Paul Hirschfield.
Yes, good morning. Over 3 months ago, myself, as well as many members
Paul,
of the Los Osos.
Say your name again, please.
I'm sorry, Paul Hirschfield from Los Osos. Over 3 months ago, I and many members of our community came to seek your support in the denial of an illegal encroachment permit, and thankfully we had very overwhelming support from you. You instructed the planning department to work with the applicant to try to come up with perhaps some kind of acceptable compromise. Some of those sort of guidelines were kind of loosely discussed at what might happen. Since that time, the only thing that's happened is that the plants that are in the illegal encroachment are continuing to grow. In discussion and communications with the planning department, all I've heard is that they were waiting to hear back from the applicant, and this applicant is not known for their proactive, pro-community take on things. So I'd like to know if there's anything you can do to light a fire under this and have the encroachment removed instead of waiting for them to come up with something. My understanding is if it's denied, it's denied. And what should have been done at the time, I think, is that they should have been instructed to remove everything until they had an accepted permit, as opposed to letting things stay there, because it just promotes the notion that the status quo is okay.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question about what do you think that we could do to incentivize the applicant?
I don't know. Find them. I mean, this applicant is notorious for just going out and doing things, and then if required, seeking permission later, adding bathrooms to a restaurant, extending their restaurant. They just are not, you know, proactive in that way. And I don't know what sort of, you know, incentivizing you can do.
Well, I wonder if we set up a deadline for him to meet with staff.
It was left open-ended at the meeting. It was sort of to be calendared later. So, yeah, some kind of deadline would be helpful.
Yeah, I do, too. Some people would try and coast forever, and that's not the intent. So I don't know if we can maybe handle this at the next meeting, once staff has had some time to think about it, or if we want to talk about it now, but I think we need a deadline. Otherwise, we go back to the original process.
Yeah. Well, we have enforcement people that should be turned over to, not necessarily back to staff.
Enforcement has been contacted many times before the session here and subsequently, and Los Osos is not considered that important to them, obviously, because nothing is happening. At the time the illegal encroachment was put in and was called to the attention of Public Works, since it's on a public street, public right-of-way, they had actually encroached on both sides of the street. The other side of the street does not even border their property. They were instructed by Public Works to remove everything, and then it sort of softened to just removing the other side of the street. And now it's still there. I know there's a new head at Public Works. Maybe they'll take a more active role in making something happen. But continuing to just wait for enforcement when there's no really direct instruction from all of you, I don't know what they're going to sort of base their enforcement upon. So I would hope that they would be getting, if that's the approach that's taken, I would hope that they would be getting a very clear message from you that, you know, what you had said was this is an illegal encroachment, something has to change, and since nothing is changing, you therefore should instruct the applicant to do something. Right.
Well, I feel particularly responsible for that outcome. I mean, we kind of crafted that mitigation.
I believe you came out and looked at the site, yes?
I have not. But what I'm saying is that, you know, we were the ones that drove the solution that we thought would work, and now we're hearing it's not working. So I would like to actively work with staff on coming up with a deadline and bring them back if nothing gets done.
What kind of a deadline?
Okay. We really can't take action on this item today.
Understood.
Right. I think the appropriate thing would be to ask staff to agendize this so that we can continue this discussion and come up with a strategy to promote some action.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you, Mr. Hirschman.
Good. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a little bit of a different option for you. Staff is aware of this, and planning staff and code enforcement staff are working on this. We do have conditions of approval that were part of the permit that was issued, and so we do have requirements. And so as far as agendizing this, I want to ask counsel about that, but the other thing is...
There was no approval. It was continued with the idea that they would do further analysis and come up with a plan.
Right,
but community engagement, yeah.
Yeah, but there was... the action was to continue, not to...
Right,
approve.
But they weren't to... Throughout the process, they're not supposed to add anything new, or
right.
So we can bring this back earlier, but we need to notice. I think, you know, I just don't know if we continue it to a date certain.
We did not.
I don't think we did.
Mm-hmm.
So we would need to actually go ahead and notice this. But what I was going to say is that we could. Send you a memo just as an update of the status of this, and then we could agendize something properly with whatever notice is proper to do following the proper procedures.
Okay. Is there consensus here?
And I want to check with counsel. Is that an acceptable approach to take on this?
Yes, that's acceptable. And we could agendize just an update on the status of what action the planning staff has taken thus.
So we'll prepare a memo for the commission just with a status report, and then we can also do the notice and agendize it. But we can do an update for you just with a memo.
Okay. Well, let's have that on an agenda so we can have a discussion about that as soon as possible. All right, just the update and discussion. We can do that without noticing. That's just a discussion item. Okay. Before we get, well, this really is part of the next item, which is planning staff updates. Could staff, before we begin or include, comment on Mr. Greening's comment about including the CEQA guidelines in the updates that we'll be reviewing?
Yes. Erlen is our lead person in working on the housing package, and he's here to go ahead and, sure. and give you a little update on that.
Good morning, Mr. Moultari and Commissioners, Erlen Singwald, planning staff. So I was out in the hallway. I didn't catch all of Mr. Greening's testimony this morning, but I can confirm that on December 4th, the Board of Supervisors did add the CEQA guidelines to the county housing initiatives package. And we plan on taking those CEQA guidelines to the board in March of this year.
And will those be routed through the Planning Commission?
No, they will not.
Okay. Well, thanks. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to say beyond that, other than as I've complained before, there are things that we deal with regard to housing, to CEQA, to subdivisions, to grading, and so on, which seem to bypass the Planning Commission, and then we get the results as a fait accompli without having had an opportunity to comment or give our advice. But that's not our call, probably not staff's call, but we probably should complain to our supervisors. Okay, thanks, Arlen.
Arlen, one more thing. I think also what Mr. Greening was asking was that there would be an opportunity at least to have a link or something on there of what's being submitted. Is that right, Eric? I mean, I think that you wanted to have some update on the website that would at least provide them with the public with what's happening with the board.
Does that current make sense? Website is completely false. It says it has not been started and that it will come to the board in the spring of 2019. And obviously, if it's part of the housing package, something is being started. So the public is getting no warning at all that this is coming unless they were paying attention on December 4th.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll just point out that the December 4th board staff report does provide kind of a brief framework of what those CEQA guideline amendments would entail. Okay. And we heard the comments about the website, and we'll make sure to get updated information online.
Thank you.
Thanks, Erlen. Mm-hmm. Eric, no, we really shouldn't have this back and forth. Well, go ahead, one more time.
It presented what was a summary of recommendations from the Housing Coalition.
It did not identify them as a staff recommendation or a board action. So if they are the actual framework, that is very, very important news that we have not yet had. And so I hope that this is either a yes or a no that it is, because right now we have no idea what the staff is going to recommend. Thank you.
Thank you. Valuable input. Okay, that brings us to planning staff updates.
So. Right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ellen Carroll, I'll go ahead and give you a look ahead on your upcoming schedule, and everything that I'm going to go over with you is tentative until it's noticed. So your next meeting is January 24th, and you have on the consent agenda, we'll have a couple of conformity reports. Then we have the inclusionary housing ordinance and affordable housing fund ordinance. We also have an AT&T wireless communication facility. That's in the agricultural land use category outside of the city of Arroyo Grande. The Brown project, which is a single-family residence in Cayucas, was continued to that date, but it's going to be continued again. The applicant's working on getting the information that the commission asked for on that. We also have two cannabis projects on that date, one in the industrial land use category south of the city of San Luis Obispo, and one south of Oceano. Those are two cannabis projects on that date. And then we will also have a memo for you regarding the First Street issue that the commission just discussed. So that's January 24th. That's your next meeting date. February 14th is the next date, and right now I don't have any items scheduled for that. I don't think that's going to stay like that. We still have time to notice issues, but right now I don't have any items on that date. On February 28th, which would be your next meeting, we have the county resource summary report scheduled. We have a development plan and coastal development permit for a single-family residence east of Avila Beach and sort of near the intersection of Avila Beach Road and Ontario Road. And then we have a wireless facility project located in Templeton area. And that's February 28th. And those are all tentative, again, until they're noticed. And then your next two meetings, March 7th and March 28th, we don't have enough information on those. They're far enough out that I don't have information on those dates. And that completes my comments.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions to staff about that? Okay. Thank you. All right, that brings us to the hearings portion of our meeting this morning. Ramona, could you introduce the first hearing item, please?
Hearing item number four is a request by William Noland, Farm Credit West Bank, for a lot line adjustment and conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2018-00104 and SUB 2018-00040. Supervisorial District Number 1, Project Manager Holly Phipps.
Okay, before we begin with staff's presentation, is there any ex parte communications that need to be?
I did a drive-by observation of the subject property.
Okay. Very good.
I drove by it.
Yeah, I did too, but I didn't talk to anybody. Okay.
Pretty easy to see.
Okay, so staff presentation, please. Holly.
Good morning, Chairman Motari and members of Planning Commission, Holly Phipps, planning staff. Before us today is a request by William Noland, Farm Credit West Bank, for a conditional use permit to include the following: to allow the construction of 11,109 square foot office addition onto an existing 11,341 square foot building, removal of the existing parking lot, and the construction of two new parking lots. The project will result in approximately 1.7 acres of site disturbance. The reason we're here before your commission today for a conditional use permit because the floor area is greater than, will exceed 19,999 square feet, and per our land use ordinance, that now requires a conditional use permit. The project also includes a request for a lot line adjustment between two lots of 71,054 square feet and 13,501 square feet. The adjustment will result in two lots of 70,645 square feet and 13,910 square feet. The adjustment is to provide a larger lot for buyers of lot four for future development. Essentially, we're talking about 409 square feet addition and reduction to the parcels. The proposed project is located on the east side of Ramada Drive off of Bison Court, which is off of Calmetto. It is located in the community of Templeton and is located within the Templeton Urban Reserve Line. The proposed project is located in the multi-land use category, which is a combination of commercial retail and commercial service. The project is located in the Salinas River subarea of the North County Planning Area. Quick look at the aerial. There's not much out on Bison Court, but there's great opportunities. Site map here, the existing building, Farm Credit West, the new proposed building, and parking lot one and parking lot two. It's essentially, the addition is for more office space. The floor plans, lots of offices. This is looking from Calmetto of the existing building for Farm Credit. And it's a different rendition of the addition. The existing building is a two-story, and the addition would be a one-story. Quick elevations just running through. Again, this is the front of the building off of Calmetto, and here's the addition and the backside. So it's matching the existing building with colors and exterior materials. Landscape plan, they are proposing landscaping that will mimic the existing landscaping that's already at the Farm Credit West. There's landscaping proposed on the backside of the building and around the parking lots. some isometric elevations to give you an idea of what it's going to look at like when it's finished. And then you can see with the proposed landscaping. So I do have a house cleaning item I would like to address. Attachment 4, I would like to delete a finding. I would like to delete number 9. That was an error that is not required for this lot line adjustment, and then renumber the following conditions.
Okay. Actually, while you're on cleanup, if you look at attachment 2, this is utterly unsubstantive, but if you go to page 3 of 4.
Yes.
You have conditions to be completed prior to issuance of the construction permit, and 14 is landscaping, which would be completed, obviously, after construction. The fire requirements are after final inspection, not prior to issuance of the construction permit. And the planning department, the number 17, is prior to occupancy, apparently. So maybe those are things you could
Yes,
clean
I
up.
Can reorder those and make sure that they're in the right heading.
Yeah, and now this is the I want to know how strict we're to be with regard to our latest direction from the planning director, because we're not supposed to vote on anything until we actually see those changes on the screen.
Really changing the conditions of approval. We're just...
Could you pull your mic over, please?
I'm sorry. We're kind of just reordering them. We're not really changing the conditions of approval, so that might give us some leeway.
Karen Nall, a simple fix would be to delete the heading, conditions to be completed prior to issuance of construction permit.
That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. I have another one similar to that. I don't think it probably affects the need for the use permit, but you, on your graphics here, showed the existing building of being 11,000 some odd feet, and on the planning plan, it shows to be 9,000 some odd feet.
Which attachment?
Sixth page on the one you gave us this morning today.
May I look at that?
Next to the last page. Being the math and the addition makes it necessary for this hearing, probably ought to check that.
Okay, perhaps while staff is, well, I guess we need to know this information.
Oh, okay, I see that, yeah. That was the applicant's submittal, the final building permit that I looked up is greater than that number, so that is incorrect.
So what I'm seeing here is incorrect. It indeed is 11,000 some odd.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions for staff before we open the public hearing? Okay. Then we will open this item for public testimony. If the applicant's here, they typically go first. Is there an applicant or applicant's rep that would like to speak to us? And could you fill out before you leave one of these forms?
Certainly.
Tell us.
Kyle Harris, Harris Architecture and Design. Thank you, commissioners. Glad to be here to answer any questions this morning. I think Karen and Holly have done a great job putting our application together and presenting it to you. Just a brief overview of the project is Farm Credit West is one of the major ag lenders in the state of California, and they are expanding their Templeton facility, which is one of their largest, they call it one of their capital accounts markets. From this facility, they buy major sections of ag loans from bond agencies and government agencies and then segregate those up and sell them off to local farmers. of great benefit to our farmers here in San Luis Obispo County. With that, this is not your typical walk-up public type of bank. They do not have a vault on site. It's not a banking institution. It's a lending institution only. So the annex and the addition that you see before you today is to house additional staff because of the booming economy and the great farming conditions we have here in San Luis Obispo County. With that, I'm here to answer any questions that you may have or take care of anything that way. Thank you.
Any questions?
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
What's the purpose of adding 400 square feet to that one lot?
We're shifting those lot lines a little bit, so we don't have a building or a property line right through the middle of our building. So we're separating it so we have all the buildings on one property, all the parking lot on one property, and then the additional, the leftover portion, if you will, is on that adjacent end property.
But isn't that the property that you added the 400 feet to, the end property? Or did I misread that?
That, go ahead, Karen. Or that those property lines all shifted a little bit, if you will, to the north. So.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, I don't have any speaker. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't have any speaker slips for this item. Is there anybody out there that would like to speak to this? Okay, seeing none, then we'll close the public hearing.
So we deleted that heading.
Okay.
For attachment two.
Very good. Commissioners, any comments?
So I'm taking what we just saw will satisfy our new edicts that we see this in writing before.
And here's the second change is deletion of condition number 9, which
right.
is reflecting the lot line adjustment was just a
okay.
unnecessary
well,
condition.
Well, this is a project I don't have a lot of trouble with because we've got an example of what's going to happen right there by the building that exists, so we really don't have a lot of things to talk about from that aspect. So given that, I will move approval of this.
Second.
I'll move approval of DRC 2018-00104. For the Farm Credit West Bank for lot line adjustment and conditional use permit.
That's
I'll second.
Just for clarity, that's based on the findings and subject to the conditions in the
and
staff report as
correct.
We've seen amended.
Correct.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Everybody's clear on what we're doing? Okay. Roberta, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Lay?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Chairman Moltari?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, that brings us to our second hearing item. Ramona, would you introduce that, please?
Getting a stack of them there, John.
This is a request by People's Self-Help Housing for a development plan coastal development permit. County file number DRC 2012-00052. Supervisorial District Number 2, Matt Leal, Project Manager.
Very good. Any ex parte communications that we need to mention?
Yes, I drove up there and to Schoolhouse Lane, and because I mainly want to see what the comments were in a letter on Eaton Road relative to children crossing. So we'll bring that up in our discussion, I presume. But I did look at it.
Okay. I'm sure other people did site visits, but we didn't speak to anybody. So with that, we have a presentation from staff. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. My name is Matt Leal from the County Planning and Building staff. This morning's permit in front of you is Cambria Pines Apartments. It's a development plan / coastal development permit. The permit would allow 33 affordable housing units, including a common building which would have on-site amenities. The site disturbance with the project would be about 2 acres. And as part of the retrofits that were completed with the project, there are no net increases of water demand. Here's a vicinity map showing the location of the project. The project is on the east side of Cambria, north of Highway 1, and is off of Schoolhouse Lane. Here's a map showing the land use categories that surround the property. The property itself is a residential multifamily use adjacent to residential uses, multifamily, as well as residential suburban. Here's an aerial view showing, outlined in white, the parcel. Outlined in green is the forested area that has been set into a dedicated open space. And outlined in yellow is the area that's proposed for development, which is in the clear part of the parcel. Here are a couple of images showing the existing conditions of the parcel. So you can see it's a relatively clear site, very level. On the fringes, it does have some elevation change. On the bottom right, looking north, you can see the access road that the neighbor to the north uses. Ultimately, that would be the extension of Schoolhouse Lane on the frontage to the property. So here's a site map of the proposed project. The development has been sited to minimize the impacts to trees as well as avoid steep slopes. The project does show 8 trees being removed, 5 pine trees, and 3 oaks. Those will be replaced at the county-approved ratios. Also on this map, you can see outlined in the big red circles the height modifications to buildings 7 and the common building. They would go up to 32 feet. And there's also side setback modifications that are circled with the smaller circles. And those requests are under the density bonus law. And with receiving those modifications, the projects would provide a 55-year affordability period. Here's the preliminary landscaping plan, which shows the replacements of those trees, as well as showing all the disturbed areas, which would be revegetated with native and drought/fire-resistant plants, as well as proper screening off of the extension of Schoolhouse Lane to the buildings on the project site. Here are a few renderings showing the two building types, which would contain unit size from 1 bedroom to 3 bedrooms. Here is the view of the common building. The top rendering is the elevation that would be seen from Schoolhouse Lane, and the bottom rendering shows from the interior of the project. The common building would contain the manager's unit, as well as meeting rooms, on-site laundry, kitchen, and restrooms for the tenants. Before we go into the recommendations, before reading the recommendations, staff has a couple cleanups on the conditions of approval. Okay, the first cleanup. Essentially, it's a clarification. Sorry, just one moment. Trying to pull up the so you can see the track changes. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, the changes here are actually pretty minor, so I think we can present them without figuring out the tracks changes. Track changes.
Mr. Chairman, just give us a minute here while we get to the actual document. It looks like it's coming up right now.
If you wouldn't mind, could we go ahead and conclude the staff presentation?
Start doing public testimony. You guys can fool around with this, and then we'll get to it. I assume it's not something that is critical. Okay. So can you go back, Matt, to the recommendation, and then we'll come back. You're recommending, obviously, approval subject to conditions and findings.
Yes.
As you're modifying, and you'll show us in a minute. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions later then with them.
Yeah. Do you have any questions of staff right now?
I have. I need some education.
Mr. Campbell.
You made the point about there being no net water use. I'm trying to understand this point system, and I see where you came up with that statement, because offset points are 41.44 and net required 38.90, which I still can't get through my head that you add 33 units with water attached to them and not end up using more water than in the past. Can you quickly explain how you came up with that statement?
Yes, so this the information that staff was provided comes from the Community Service District. Essentially, the project was needing a 1 to 1.7 ratio. So basically, there was 1.7 saved for every new one demand, and the points are developed and maintained by the CSD, and you can see in the staff report, it would be on page 5 of 18, where it lists out the number of gallons that were saved, and that the number of gallons that the project would propose to use ultimately are less than what was saved.
How does that actually work?
I still don't understand.
But they offset through a system. They've offset, but with new.
Well, I can understand the point system and how it offsets by savings with shower heads, et cetera. But the bottom line is 33 units that weren't there yesterday are going to use more water, period, regardless of any point system. And I guess that's where I'm having trouble understanding what this point system is all about.
Who's giving the offset physically? Is it? I mean, right now there's a lot of lots there that can't be built because of water in Cambria. So are you converting shower heads out of other houses?
I'm Aaron Wilson-Wall, planning staff. So the CCSD runs the retrofit program in Cambria. For years, they have been providing low-flow fixtures, higher efficient water fixtures, and establishing retrofit credits so they can then sell to developers who want to build in Cambria. Of course, there is a moratorium in Cambria, so there are very limited circumstances under which someone can propose new development, but one of those exceptions to their moratorium is affordable housing. Okay. So between that exception and the moratorium and the water savings from the CCSD's retrofit program, the applicant is able to build and not result in increased water.
So that's the bottom line. And all these 4, 5, 6 pages of all of the conservation meter with people's names on them, then they've provided the savings for this thing to continue then.
Correct.
Basically what you're saying. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
I actually do have a question for staff.
Of course.
In your description of the subject matter, you say that this is located north side of Schoolhouse Lane. Map page 3 of 9 shows it's on the west side, or shows that it's on the east side, north side. Anyway, there are 3 different places in this that you say they're on 3 different sides of Schoolhouse Lane, north, east, and south. But if you look at the map, it indicates that it's on the west side.
Yeah.
All of them should say the same thing.
Okay. So Commissioner Harrison, I'll just start off with a partial explanation, and that is that the so we apologize for the inconsistency in the staff report, but part of the confusion is the project does propose to extend Schoolhouse Lane, so it is west of the Schoolhouse Lane extension, but it's north of the existing improved Schoolhouse Lane. Yeah. I'm not sure about the south one. Well, that may just be a typo.
Well, it says east, too.
Okay.
That's just a mistake there.
In your description on the place, it says subject, and it says the project is located on the east side of Schoolhouse Lane across from Santa Lucia Middle School.
No, that should say west.
That should say west.
That should say west.
That obviously. Should say west.
Yeah.
I can understand why you would put the one that says north, because I did kind of figure that out by looking at it.
Okay.
Anyway, I just thought that they all should indicate the same, where when we approve this, if we do, that it's consistent throughout. That's all.
Right. Good catch. I'm sure you guys can correct that. Any other questions at this stage?
No.
Okay. So with that, then, I'll open the public hearing. The applicant or their rep gets to go first, and I have Rigoberto Guzman, I think. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, commissioners. My name is Rigoberto Guzman, and we have a presentation ready for you guys, so I'll wait till. Oh, is it up? Or oh, there it is. Okay.
We're getting up right now.
I just want to clarify, do I have 3 minutes or?
You have a little more, sir, the applicant. So, sure. Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to give you guys a quick history about people's self-help housing, where we're up to now. If you could go to the next page, please.
Rigoberto, could you speak a little louder into the microphone, please?
So we are a nonprofit organization that builds high-quality, low-income housing for families that earn less than the area median income. We operate 51 affordable housing communities across the Tri-County area. Our self-help housing branch has helped nearly 1,200 first home buyers purchase their first home. Our rental development construction departments have provided affordable rental housing for over 5,000 low-income people. We are 180 people, staff strong, with a variety of skills and deep commitment to our mission. Our mission is up there. We build affordable homes with site-based services that offer opportunities to change lives, strengthen communities here in the Central Coast. Next slide, please. We do new construction and rehabilitations, adding to the local affordable housing inventory. We have a strong development pipeline, 16 projects in various stages of development, 7 of which are here in San Luis Obispo County. We retain ownership of all the projects. Our property management branch manages over 1,800 units to date. Our supportive services branch operates a wide array of programs, some of which are food programs, social gatherings, veterans programs, just to name a few. Participation is voluntary and free for all residents. Programs are available for children and adults. We have 9 learning centers throughout our properties, after-school programs, young adults in high school, of the young adults in high school for our properties using these programs, we have a 100% high school graduation rate. Next page, please. We have one existing project in Cambria, Schoolhouse Lane Apartments. It was built in 1997. It consists of 24 units of low-income housing. Many of the tenants work in Cambria, which a few of them work in the surrounding areas. Currently, the wait list for them is 140 applicants, and it exceeds 8 years at the moment. Our project is to be set next door to our existing low-income community, Schoolhouse Lane. As you can see, the Cambria Pines buildings are designed to be small-scale. They're meant to blend in with the surrounding community using locally found details from the neighborhood in the design. We will be using fire-resistant building materials. The landscaping will also be designed to be drought-resistant and fire-resistant. Cambria Pines will be deed-restricted for 55 years to low-income residents only. The plan calls for 33 units, 4 one-bedroom, 19 two-bedroom, and 10 three-bedroom. The project is 100% affordable housing with rents ranging from 30% area median income to 60% AMI. The project will be across the street from the Santa Lucia Middle School and adjacent to our Schoolhouse Lane apartments. It will be owned and operated by People's Self-Help Housing. An on-site manager with a manager's unit will oversee the property.
And financing will be provided by different sources, such as low-income housing tax credits, public affordable housing sources, and a bank loan. The timeline, we anticipate applying for tax credits in February of 2020 with a subsequent award in June of 2020. We will start construction February 2021 and end construction June 2022. The total site acreage is 5.88 acres with an allowed density of 26 units per acre. 3.84 acres will be set aside to preserve the local wilderness habitat, and 2.04 acres will be disturbed for development with a proposed density of 10.8 units per acre. The layout consists of 8 two-story buildings, 61 parking spaces, 3 of which will be accessible spaces. Site amenities will include a community center, after-school program, laundry room, play area, and an on-site manager, as well as pedestrian walkway connectivity. Lastly, this community is designed to blend into the character and the existing neighborhood. Thank you guys for your time.
Okay. Well, let's see if we have any questions for you. I do have one. I just want to be clear that you, People's Self-Help, owns the property immediately to the south.
That is correct.
And so this is just really an extension of your existing apartment complex.
It'll be an additional community, but for all intents and purposes.
Understood. Okay. Any other questions, commissioners, at this point?
No.
Okay. We have several speakers. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have several speaker slips. Paul Hirschfield, if you wouldn't mind going first. And following that, we have Jane Pomeroy. So you'll be on deck, Jane.
Hello again. When my wife and I first moved to Los Osos 5.5 years ago, actually we were part-timers for a while, and we made a point of coming to the Community Advisory Council meetings every month when we could make it up in time. And we were very interested in seeing affordable housing in Los Osos. We're fortunate enough to be able to buy a home there. It's a beautiful place. But clearly not everybody in California is able to do that sort of thing. There's a lot of room there. Anyway, through that discussion, we were introduced to People's Self-Help Housing, have been kind of involved with them on and off since then, trying to advocate for affordable housing in Los Osos. Anywhere along the Central Coast, anywhere in the country, is in need of affordable housing, as we all know. Given the waiting list on Schoolhouse Lane, you can see the incredible need for affordable housing in the area, specifically in Cambria. It's a tourist economy, so it's a service economy, and a lot of the people who work in that service economy can hardly afford to live there. I've been told by somebody who's a resident that some people are living in hotel rooms without kitchens for over $1,000 a month. On that sort of, on the income in the service industry, that's quite a stretch. Anyway, I strongly support this, and I really advise you to provide your support and approval.
Thank you, Mr. Hirschfeld. Okay. Ms. Pomeroy? And then on deck would be Yael Corin. So. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jane Pomeroy. I am the Associate Director of RISE. For those of you who aren't familiar, we're a local nonprofit. We serve folks affected by intimate partner violence and sexual assault. We also have prevention and awareness programs throughout the county. I am delighted to stand before you today in support of the People's Self-Help Housing Cambria Pines Housing Development. Annually, RISE houses an average of 120 women, men, and children fleeing violence in our emergency shelters, in addition to answering over 1,000 crisis calls and providing counseling services to over 250 individuals so they can begin their healing journey. Overwhelmingly, affordable housing is the number one unmet need experienced by our clients. Over the past year, we received 201 unmet requests for emergency shelter from people fleeing violence, and our shelters were full 95% of the time. When housing is unavailable, whether temporary or permanent, many of our victims are forced to return to their abusers. The Cambria Pines development will provide one more opportunity for vulnerable community members to find safety and stability in a home they can afford. As the Associate Director of RISE and as a native resident, I urge you to approve permitting and allow construction for this development. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Corinne? And on deck would be Catherine Clayton. You'll be next.
Hello. Thank you. My name is Yael Corin. I'm a resident in Los Osos, and I will not add way more information because my husband, Paul, already talked a lot of the same points, put forth the same points that I was going to make. One of the major factor that I think you should consider is the fact that People Self-Help do own and manage the properties and basically provide community, communal sense and community, real community, not just developers that would like to have a point to get to build houses and will assume, oh, 10, 15% will be affordable, so I'm getting some points and it's going to be less expensive. But they really are in the business of providing affordable housing, and that's the beauty of this organization. So for all of the points of Bear already put forth, I will not take up more of your time, but I strongly recommend you to support them in Cambria and hopefully in the future also in Los Osos. I hope I'll stand here and ask you to do that soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Clayton. And next up would be Kelsa Montez.
Good morning. I'm Catherine Clayton.
Yes.
I actually do live in Cambria. I've been a resident for 15 years and a business owner for 15 years. And I have the unique stature to have actually own the street that they are going to build on. I own that street. It's a strange way it came about, but I have yet to be approached or considered by the People's Self-Help. For 15 years, I've been struggling with this. No one's talked to me about it. My property value will be affected. My property in and out will be affected. My plumbing, my water, everything will be affected by the upheaval of that street. They'd like to think that I'm not there, but I am. And I will be until someone takes over that street, which is the way it's written, in perpetuity, irrevocably, but I still own that street right now. And I've never been considered for the liability issues. If they walk on that street as it stands, if they start construction as it stands, I'm liable. If someone gets hurt on that street, I am liable. So I had the unique position to be up here and tell you, as a Cambria resident and specifically as an owner, that my it's been a cause of concern, if nothing else. You need to respect my position. I would like to address the water issue. The net points and all that confused me, too. As a Cambrian, we have been through a lot of struggle to pull back, not have showers, not water outside. And I own a nursery. So it's been a real big struggle for us to just little flow, everything, in order to just have enough water for us. And for them to, the audacity to come in here and say, well, because of something, the moratorium or whatever, that can bring 33 more units. I did the math, and that is about 23 to 33,000 gallons a day. And that's without the rec center, without a laundry. We don't even have a laundry in Cambria, if you noticed. We don't even have a laundry room in Cambria you can take your laundry to because of the water. And no one has a crystal ball here. We don't know if this, because it's raining today, doesn't mean we're out of the drought, A. And B, who knows how many years there could be another drought. We could be on the verge of a 5-year, 10-year drought. And then what? Then what do you do for water? I don't care how many net points you have. There's no water. There's no water. And these poor people, like you said, but the land, I pity them. They'll never get their land built because we won't have water. And you either have it or you don't have it. Doesn't matter. 33 units is a bit much. I think it comes to 12 million 45 gallons a year. Anyway, with a rec center and a kitchen and a bathroom and all that, it's ridiculous. Anyway, the second thing that I'd like to say is Cambria is a dying village. I own a store, and I have been privy to businesses going belly up because of the drought, because of the bridge being out. I've had at least 7 businesses that have gone on my own street. So the argument with all these people need places to live, to live, mm-hmm. that work there is a moot point. I hire 5 people, 2 of which live there, the others work. They live in Paso and Morro Bay. They just commute. I give them enough money that they can commute. That's the way it is. It's the way it is in LA too. You know, you just drive a half hour wherever you can buy. I mean, we can do. Cambria is in a unique position. None of these people here obviously live there. It's a real unique position. We have less water than any of y'all. So, anyway, the traffic. I know that some of you have driven by. I don't know if you've driven by when the kids are coming out from school. It is a mess. There's one entrance, one exit. It's my lane, my long driveway that I get out of. All these people coming out, they're lined up along the street, and all these people are trying to drop off their kids. And I don't care what kind of plan you have to get a cul-de-sac or whatever you've got, there's one exit. And God forbid there's a fire. And we have a lot of fires because it's dry in Cambria. We have a lot of fires. And if the evacuation would be, it's a really precarious situation. I just want you to take that in consideration before you give the go-ahead of this. This is about 15 years in the making that we've all just been, a lot of the Cambrians that I've talked to are just really up in arms.
Okay. Ms.
We
Clayton,
didn't
could you
hold on to our water just to have it given to anybody just to put 33 units. Exactly. Anyway, it's not a stellar location, and I thank you for listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Before we move on, maybe staff could straighten out the road question.
Yeah, it's a major one.
Yes, David Grimm, Public Works Development Services Division. The county does have an offer of dedication for this portion of Schoolhouse Lane. This goes back to 1986, and that gives the county the ability to have to enter the property or its agents, in this case, the developer of this parcel, to make improvements to that street, whereupon our acceptance of the improvements, we would bring that portion of Schoolhouse Lane into the county right-of-way and into the county-maintained road system.
Point of clarification. Now, you talk about that section of Schoolhouse Lane. I was of the opinion after hearing this, Mrs. Clayton, was that the entire Schoolhouse Lane from Eaton on was privately owned. Are you saying you're dealing with just the 280 or so feet for this new project, or will that include the whole lane from Eaton Road?
No, currently from Eaton Road to the subject, to the, just the subject property, is county maintained road. Currently.
Okay.
We have the offer of dedication along the project frontage, which is the 286 feet or whatever. That property is on another piece of property. It's not part of this subject property, but we have an offer of dedication on that portion of the other property, which allows this road to be built.
So what say you relative to her comment that she owns the road?
It is considered private property. However, the county has an easement, which is an offer of dedication, which allows the county to make the improvements or have another developer come and make those road improvements, whereupon we would accept it into the county-maintained system.
So maybe we've got to shift to county council, and from a liability standpoint, where does that leave this lady?
I'd have to look into that a little bit deeper. But typically offers to dedicate in easements. It's Matt Kristen, county council's office. They don't, liability doesn't attach to those offers typically. Usually when it's for public use, public utility or access, there's a civil code provision. I think it's I don't want to give you the wrong one, 831.4. But anyway, there's a provision in the civil code that provides indemnity for offerors.
Okay.
If I could just read one thing from the offer of dedication itself. This was May 27th, 1986. Whereas the said offeror desires to make an offer to dedicate irrevocably to the public an easement for public road purposes, which offer may be accepted at any time by the governmental entity which has the power to establish, construct, and maintain roads. This is by no means a rare situation. We have these types of instances.
So you're requiring the developer to develop this road. Are you going to accept that once it's done?
Yes, we will.
Commissioner Brown, did you want to
say? Well, I'm still confused. The last speaker claims that they own the road, and I basically that is, you're saying that's not the case because of the easement.
They may own the land, but it is a public easement.
Yeah, which I suppose they were compensated for, or something like that.
1986. I'm not aware of the specific circumstances around the offer to dedicate. However, when we're reviewing, say, a land division or a use permit, we will very often consider the circulation goals in the community, right, and see if that involves an area where we have a street connection that we want to make. And as a condition of approval for that kind of project, we will require them to offer to the county an area of their property which will be improved at a later date. This was done in 1986, and now the time has come where we would have the improvements made and then accept that into the county system.
Okay. I'm also interested in the children, the traffic. Has that been looked at? You know, it sounds like there's a lot of children that would be moving.
Mr. Brown, I have the same question, but can I interject one that's more like your first question?
Now,
just for clarification, and I live in the county, and I pay taxes and own clear to the center of the county road. And I've never been held liable for anything, and I'm indemnified from things that happen in the road. So I presume that's kind of where you're coming from?
In that case, it's in the county right-of-way.
Correct.
I'm not sure what your question is. However,
well, that's not a question. I'm just trying to clarify what you just told us, in that I think most roads, most properties in the county go to the center of whatever, you know, the edge of their property ends up being the center of many county roads, such as mine is. And there's never been an indemnity problem or anything with that.
Correct. Technically, a landowner's property may extend to the center of the street.
Correct.
However, it's in the county right-of-way.
Correct.
There's no liability that they would have.
I wanted to clarify that.
In relationship to this road improvement being built, they would not have any liability.
The same situation then is where I'm coming from.
Correct.
My question had to do with the traffic pattern of the children.
I wonder if we should finish the testimony, and then there may be questions like that coming up. So we're going to continue with public testimony. And Ms. Montez, you're up next, and followed by Jerry Rio. Good morning.
Hi. My name is Elsa Montes, and I'm going to speak a little bit about, I'm going to comment about the schoolhouse apartments. And I'm interested to know if it's, you know, we have this big problem in Cambria, no houses to live in Cambria, and I have 14 years living there. It's a big problem to find houses to rent. And you know, this is a big touristic place then. No houses to rent. The people are living out from there. And when we need people to work in Cambria, no people, no houses. And then it's hard. It's hard to find something to render. And then I invited to you take this proposition. You know, when I hear about this meeting, and I was interested to hear something about it more. And because we have long time with this problem, no houses to live there. And then I represent my community, and I involved in the schools. And, you know, it's hard to live, for example, in San Simeon. Many of those families live there, and they are paying in a hotel to rent there almost $2,000, living in two rooms, no kitchen, and then it's a big problem for the families, for the kids. And then it's important to you take this proposition and to you see the proposition to make something, to make a change, a big change in the Cambria community. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Rio? Morning, Chair.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman Moltari and members of the Commission. My name is Jerry Ryu. I'm the director of the San Luis Obispo County Housing Trust Fund. We're a nonprofit lender. I like to say that we're a hard money lender with a heart. We provide loans, that fairly risky loans, to help affordable housing projects. We provided a loan to People's Self-Help Housing to buy the water connections, I guess, 6-7 years ago. The agency has owned the land for a decade. I'm here to encourage you to approve the project unanimously and to award Peoples an award for persistence. Cambria has a tremendous need for housing. All of our county does. And in 2013, our county had the lowest multifamily vacancy rate in the whole country. In the whole country. It's a little better now. Zillow reported that our county's rents went up by more than any other county in the state in the last 4 years. Housing is a problem. And because we have a housing problem, we have a greenhouse gas problem. With the 33 families living in these units, rather than commuting from Paso Robles, we'll save 60,000 miles a year or more. A big impact on our environment, on their lives, on the community. Cambria recently had a national disaster declared because of Highway 1 closing. As a result, there's been lots of economic losses in the community. It's open again, and the economy is moving up. So while they may not have needed more workers a year or two ago, they now do and will in the future. I've been working with Peoples for over 35 years in various capacities. They're a wonderful group. You'll be very proud of what they build and how they operate it. Thank you.
Thank you. I also have a speaker slip from Amanda Rice from the CSD. Okay, so is there any questions for Ms. Rice from the CSD? Okay, thank you very much. Those are all the speaker slips that I have. Does anybody else want to talk to this project who hasn't? Okay, with that, I'm going to close the hearing. Come on down. Please state your name.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Morgan Benavita with People's Self-Help Housing. I'm the director of multifamily housing development. Just want to make a point of clarification. Our neighbor had mentioned that we hadn't met with her. We did, in fact, meet with our neighbor. Bill Lohr, with our construction staff, is here. He met with her a couple times. It's been a few years, so maybe time has gone on and maybe had forgotten about that. But we did make that attempt, and we'll leave it to county staff. You know, our recollection of the road is it's a public easement that can be constructed on. So we proceeded with that knowledge of those public recorded documents and relying on county staff to advise us as to what can be done in the roadway and tell us how to construct there. So we intend to follow county standards in doing that. We want to be a good neighbor, and that's why we reached out to these folks. And if they have any other questions, we're happy to address those as well. So thank you.
Okay. Before you leave, could you fill out one of these forms?
I will, yes.
And maybe you guys should get together sometime.
Certainly.
But we're not going to do that in front of the at a public hearing. So anybody who has not spoken? Okay. So I'm going to close the hearing now and bring it back to the commissioners. Comments, questions?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
I'd like staff to speak of the condition of the kids going back and forth to school. Has that traffic pattern been looked at? Is it safe? How bad do you think it is?
Yeah, so the project does include a traffic study that looked at the total number of additional peak hour trips that we generated.
I meant the children walking back and forth, not necessarily.
Sure. Well, so potential safety impacts to the children are obviously correlated with the number of additional peak hour trips. That was addressed in the traffic study. The project was also reviewed by Public Works, and no issues were identified.
Well, is there a problem of children going using that road?
According to the again, traffic engineer's analysis of the additional peak hour trips and Public Works review, no, there's not.
Were they looking at pedestrian traffic? I guess that's...
They're looking at the additional vehicle traffic that would result
okay,
from the project.
Okay, so
and whether that would...
I'm left with there could be a pedestrian traffic problem. That's all I'm left with.
As part of the conditions of approval of this project, and one of the reasons why we're having the applicant extend Schoolhouse Lane is to be able to provide full pedestrian improvements along that stretch of Schoolhouse Lane. Obviously, it's up to the residents to obey traffic code and stay on the sidewalk and not go on the road. I'm not aware of any pre-existing problem that would necessitate any other course of action. The PM peak hour trips is about 20 trips estimated to be generated from this project, which is pretty modest and not a significant impact for this area.
While you're on the mic, I'm going to refer, in following along with the same thoughts, refer to the letter from Mrs. Robertson from March of 2013, where they say that there are no sidewalks, so the children have no choice to walk in the street. Has that been addressed?
Again, one of the conditions of approval for the project is for the applicant to build Schoolhouse Lane, which will include full pedestrian improvements along the entire project frontage.
Good. Thank you.
And so that would include a sidewalk. Is that what you're saying, or can you say that?
Correct.
Okay. There will be a sidewalk. Okay. There was another comment, Mrs. Robertson, about putting a traffic light on Eaton Road. Has anybody looked at that comment?
Given the number of trips in the area and being generated by this project, a traffic light would not be necessary at this time. If we ended up having more development further northward of this subject property, and there was property north of the school there that ended up being developed, we would likely have additional traffic studies performed at that time to see if there's any signal warrant analysis that needs to be done at that location.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments about the project?
Has any consideration been given to the ability of these people to escape in the case of a major wildland incident? It appears from the maps that there's possibility of trees on the backside of this or other flammable vegetation.
Well, so the project does have a fire safety plan. We'll have to comply with all of the Camarillo Fire Department.
I was looking for that.
I assume that addresses evacuation.
I actually couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's in here.
Okay. Thank you.
Erlen, is that a condition of approval, or is the fire plan in the packet? It was, wasn't it?
Both. It's in the packet, and the project's conditioned to comply with the recommendation or the requirements of the fire safety plan.
Okay, very good. Any other comments or? Yes.
No, I.
Yes,
thank you. I just find this application to be a fantastic opportunity for the community of Cambria. I have intimate knowledge of the need there for housing for all the hotel workers, as our speaker addressed. And I think that overall, in regards to all the mitigation and the fact that it's near the school, is actually a good thing. All schools are very busy at school time with kids coming and going and parents picking up, so that's a natural. I'm really happy to have the additional pedestrian way for them added. And I just think that I wish it was coming sooner than 2021, 2022. We really need this. So that's my comment.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Ellen Carroll, before you continue, we should, and we're, I think, ready. I'm looking at staff, and they're shaking their head yes, to show you the changes on the screen there.
So if the commission's ready, let's go ahead and... Okay, so first of all, regarding the inconsistencies on the location of the project relative to Schoolhouse Lane, we changed here in the staff report under subject east to north. I did a word search throughout the staff report, and it would now be consistently referred to as the property on the north side of Schoolhouse Lane. As for those changes to the conditions, they are fairly minor. So it is condition number 28. Scrolling through to 28 here. So this condition came right out of the mitigated negative declaration. In the negative declaration mitigation measures, the mitigation measure AQ 1, 2, and 3 were located above. They're not above when they're transferred into the staff report condition, so we just are clarifying that we're speaking to mitigation measures AQ 1, 2, and 3. And then condition number 46, there was a typo where we referred to the Templeton Road fee area. It should be the North Coast Road Improvement fee area. So that change we're making as well.
Carolyn, I don't mean to nitpick, but Schoolhouse Lane is going to be extended. If it wasn't going to be extended, then it would probably be north of Schoolhouse Lane. But once it's extended, it will be east of Schoolhouse Lane. So west. Why don't we just make that correct?
West.
West. I'm sorry. Yes.
Why don't you compromise and call it northwest?
Northwest. Yeah, one of the two. I mean, when the thing is done, it's going to be west of the lane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Generally, with the project description, we kind of describe the existing location relative to the existing roads. Either way, you know, I think would work.
The maps show where it is.
Yeah. So if you could, northeast would be better.
Northwest.
Well, we can northwest. I'm keep saying east.
Any other comments or questions?
Mr.
Chair, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me just go ahead and expand on a comment that Morgan of People Self-Help made. Yesterday afternoon, they did bring to our attention some concerns regarding the timing of the public improvement requirements and how that may create complications with the way they get financing for their project. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we haven't had a chance to work out changes with Public Works, so I didn't want to propose any changes today until we have a chance to discuss that with Public Works. I do think the way the language is now, there is enough flexibility for us to work out these requirements in a way that'll satisfy their financing timing for the project. Alternatively, if it's the commission's wish, I do have some proposed language that would clarify that and make people happy. But again, Public Works hasn't had a chance to review it yet. So we could have that discussion now, or we could work it out after the project is approved. I think either way would work.
So you're telling us, though, that the language that you have in there you think is flexible enough for you to work out this detail with people so that they can procure their financing.
That's correct. So essentially, they can't get their financing for the project until they have all of the permits mm-hmm. for the project. And one of the conditions states that prior to issuance of permits, they have to widen Schoolhouse Lane, and they won't have the financing to widen Schoolhouse Lane until they have all of their permits.
Right.
So we could make a quick clarification if it's agreeable to Public Works and your commission to condition number 15.
And prior to occupancy?
So if we can...
I'm looking at condition 32 on page 8, and it says prior to commencing permitted activities.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, David. But
not necessarily prior to issuance of the permit.
So I think we're good on that one. It's just condition number 15. It speaks more specifically to the Schoolhouse Lane widening, and that one does state prior to issuance. So I would recommend putting in parentheses after prior to issuance. I would recommend changing this to be consistent with 32 to say prior to commencement of construction or prior to commencement of permitted activities, and then in parentheses, but after permit issuance.
Okay. Why don't you type that in and show us what it looks like per your new direction from your director. While he's doing that, any other comments on this?
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Harrison.
I've read the thing that Cambria Community Service put in for their fire, but I still don't see anything in this that anyone has considered how people are going to get out of there, and you're adding another 150 or so people into a dead-end street. And how many people live on a dead-end street? And if you're going to major incident, how are you going to get out? It's a dead-end street. That's my concern. I'm not saying it would keep me from voting yes on this, but I'm just saying that's something that needs to be taken under consideration. Cambria has a whole lot of streets that, if they get a major fire in there, are going to create real problems.
Well,
and are we adding to that? That's
so
my question.
We're deferring to the authority, which is the Cambria Fire Department. One option could be to expand on the fire safety plan condition just to make sure that specifically addresses the scenario of evacuation.
Well, would that
provide... That was my entire question. Did anyone consider that?
So what is preventing that? Is that the open space part of this?
What is preventing
Easy access in case of emergency?
Mr. Chairman, Ellen Carroll, a couple of comments. Emergency access is always a major priority when our county fire, CAL FIRE, is looking at or whatever fire district is looking at the final plans and final proposals. And we can add that wording to the condition that including, you know, special attention to, they will do it whether we add it as additional wording to that condition or not. So it's up to the commission. Erlen mentioned that he could add some words to make sure. And if the commission wants to do that, that's fine. Otherwise, the fire districts and CAL FIRE and County FIRE always look at that.
But what potentially would close up that emergency access on the site, prevent it? I don't know if that has anything to do with the open space or...
Well, it's very steep topography, so there really is there isn't a way to get down to Burton with a road.
Right.
So would it be even possible, no matter what the fire district, if it's physically impossible?
I am sure that the fire district and CAL FIRE will think about the evacuation routes. I just wondered if anyone had thought about it. And I'm sure they will before this is implemented. They do all the time, I can tell you.
So, Mr. Chair, how does this language look to the commission?
There you go.
Revised condition number 41.
Great. I think they would,
doing better than that.
I think they would be doing that anyway, as Commissioner Harrison said, but and really there's physically limitations on that, so there will be some risk. There always is everywhere. Okay. My comments are, I appreciate this is a difficult site. And in some certain respects, it's not ideal. There is that topography. But I think this project is one that really warrants our approval with these conditions, and that I hope that Peoples will be able to proceed. My experience with this organization is that they have performed exemplary in terms of managing their projects and providing these kinds of resources, not just the housing, but the support services that goes with it. And really, we should encourage more of this kind of stuff. Any other comments? If there's none, then is there a motion?
I would like to move. I would like to move for the approval of the People's Self-Help Housing item DRC
202-0052.
2012.
Oh, 2012. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Based on the findings.
Thank you. And its conditions as agreed.
So just for clarification, based on the findings and the conditions as we've modified and illustrated on the screen?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Yes, I'll second that motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, could we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Commissioner Harrison?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Chairman Moultari?
Yes. Thank you all for participating. That concludes our agenda. So is there a motion to take all correspondence and testimony into the record?
I move.
Second somebody?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Harrison, second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, a motion to adjourn to our next regular meeting. Okay.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all very much. See you in a couple weeks.